but in the top menu.
Yeah, in order for all of us to have more or less the same view, same understanding, same approach to what we're learning, we need to go through this introduction and several others so that we have this as an auxiliary material for general unity into one group, because the more we learn the same material, it helps us get closer, become more connected together, to bring our thoughts closer. So it will influence our inner qualities, our desires. And in this way, eventually, it helps us build one spiritual vessel. That's why it's worthwhile for us to continue with the intro to the Zohar. That's where we stopped, and now we're continuing from item 20.
After all that we've said, we come to the resolution of our first inquiry. What is our essence? As our essence is as the essence of all the details in reality, which is no more and no less than the will to receive. But it is not as it is now in the second state, which is the will to receive only for oneself. But as it stands in the first state in Ein Sof, in its eternal form, which is reception in order to bestow contentment upon his maker. And although we have not yet reached the third state in actual fact, and we still need time, it does not blemish our essence whatsoever, since our third state is necessitated from the first. Thus, all that is bound to be collected is deemed collected, and the need for time is regarded a deficiency only where there is doubt whether one will complete what needs to be completed in time. But since we have no doubt about it, it is as though we have already reached the third state. And that body, too, given to us in its present corrupt form, does not blemish our essence, since it and all its possessions are to be completely eradicated along with the whole system of tumah, impurity, which is their source. And all that is bound to be burned is deemed burned, regarded as though it never existed. But the soul that is dressed in that body, whose essence is also purely a desire, but a desire to bestow, which extends to us from the system of the four worlds of Abiyah of Kedusha, it exists forever. This is because this form of a desire to bestow is an equivalence of form with a life of lives, and is not in any way exchangeable. This matter will be completed below. Holiness and impurity, or what's the connection between the shattering of Adam HaRishon and the system of holiness and impurity?
Through the breaking, the system of tumah, impurity, was formed. And opposite that, you can say that there exists a system of kedusha, holiness, because you don't have one without the other. Tel Aviv 1.
Good morning, Rav, friends. So, even before the third state, if I have no doubt that I'll reach it, in a state of absolutely no doubt, do I come to it automatically?
How can we reach anything if our whole existence is only to know, to recognize and reveal with our strength, so we will have no shame to reach equivalence of form.
Maybe I didn't understand. It says if you get rid of the doubt.
When he says that it opens up to us, that it is certain that we will reach the third state, it's because the Creator has enough tools, instruments to awaken us and bring us to the end of correction. So it's certain we will get there. The question is, PT-19.
Morning, friends. He says, we didn't yet reach the third state, and yet we lack time everywhere. And doesn't hurt anything since our third state is obligated by the first state, necessitated. So what does it say to us that we are in the third state, seemingly, and we haven't reached it?
We haven't reached the third state. We don't even recognize that we are in the first state. You don't recognize that you are in a corrupted state because all those states are interdependent. And to the extent that you approach correction, you discover how corrupted you are.
What does he say that it's necessitated by the first state? What is it?
The end of the act is in the preliminary thought. We already learned it, that the third state actually stands as an example. And the Creator wants to realize this example on us. And therefore, seemingly because he didn't have a choice, he keeps that third state, the perfect state, and then we develop from the broken state, the first state, until we come to the third state. Yesterday, we talked about 1, 2, 3, those three states and how we need to go through them.
Yeah, and it says something I understand. It says, but it does not blemish our essence.
Yes, because it is certain that we are in the perfect state. But what are we lacking in the perfect state is to know the whole process and discover our yearning for the corrected state, for adhesion. But basically, we're already there.
Kiev.
Dear Rav, what does it mean, a soul clothed in the body?
A desire to bestow, clothed in the will to receive. This is called a soul that is dressed in the body. The body is the will to receive, the soul is the desire to bestow.
How can they coexist? It seems they are like from different worlds.
Correct, very well said, but that can be because the will to receive transcends itself, puts a restriction on itself, and wants to work above itself, in the opposite way to itself. And then it works in order to bestow. It gets such a force from above that helps it work in order to bestow. And therefore, according to its intention to bestow, that the will to receive receives. By this, it resembles the quality of bestowal of the upper one, of the upper light. And that's why they can be together.
Can you say that the soul that's clothed in the body is the transition from the second to the third state?
Yes, yes.
Третье состояние – это в полной мере когда душа облачается в тело, то есть.
So the third state is complete when the soul clothes in the body 100%.
No, if we're saying that the will to receive dresses completely in the will to receive, this is already final correction, the end of correction. But we perform these corrections, or more accurately, the upper force does it through our requests. Throughout the second stage of corrections, throughout the 6,000 years, when we discover how much we're not in this, we ask And we do achieve it.
Так, а вот это свойство, ну, желание отдавать, оно именно приходит свыше, как что-то внешнее.
This quality to bestow, the desire to bestow comes from above as something external, or is the will to receive simply changes into that?
The desire to bestow is the creator. The desire to bestow that can be in us is our will to receive, which works as if it wants to bestow. It transcends itself and works in this way. It's not that we have a desire to bestow. We never receive or feel what the desire to bestow is. It is a power from above that dresses in the will to receive, and we remain in the same material of the will to receive, but it operates in the opposite manner to itself, through that influence of the upper light on it. And if the influence of the upper light on it stops, it falls once more into the desire in order to receive.
And
one that does not have time is considered a deficiency. Why is it?
It's when we feel that we are still behind. The feeling of being behind, being late, the feeling of corruption is a feeling that accompanies us throughout the time of being in an incomplete state. That's the feeling of lacking time or not making time.
PT 35.
Morning, Rav, World Kli. Question from the 10. What does it mean that one that is about to be burned is considered burned and is considered as if it never existed?
That will to receive, in order to receive, doesn't exist. It exists only in order to give us the feeling of our oppositeness from the Creator. But basically, in itself, it doesn't exist. There is no reality of klipot, shells, of the intention to receive. There is nothing that is against or opposite from the Creator. But in order for the created beings to exist and attain the Creator, they have to, because they are created beings, feel something opposite from the Creator. Because their feeling is built through two opposites, and between the two, they feel themselves as existing, attaining, understanding, more or less, etc. So in order to give the created beings existence, the evil inclination was created, the system of the shells, the worlds, degrees, so that within that general system of holiness and the shells and the various forces, so the will to receive will exist in it, be improved and corrected in it, and will come to a state where it is completely, absolutely similar to the Creator. Besides deciding, wanting that we want to be, deciding that we want to be like the Creator, identical to Him, adhere to Him, besides this, we need nothing. So, after we decide this about all the conditions that the Creator reveals to us, that system becomes completely needless, and then it disappears. It exists only in our awareness until we come to the final resolution that in order to bestow adhesion with the Creator is the only thing that can exist.
21. Do not be led astray by the philosophers who say that the very essence of the soul is an intellectual substance, and that it only exists through the concepts it learns, that it grows through them, and that they are its very essence. And the question of the remaining of the soul after the departure of the body depends entirely on the extent of concepts it has acquired. Until in the absence of the concepts, there remains nothing to continue.
In other words, to the extent that a person throughout his life gets knowledge, information, insights, distinctions, awareness, views, the smarter he becomes. Philosophers think that this is his possession, and with this he passes away.
This is not the view of Torah. It's also unacceptable, and anyone who ever tried to acquire knowledge knows and feels that the mind is a possession and not the actual possessor.
In other words, this is what we acquire as an intellectual luggage, so to speak, throughout life. It doesn't remain eternally because there's nothing in it that changes our essence. And?
But as we have said, the whole substance of creation, both the substance of the spiritual objects and the substance of the corporeal objects, is no more and no less than a desire to receive.
And that's all it is, the will to receive. And that desire is very, very far from the common sense, this special intellect that the philosophers imagine.
And although we said that the soul is entirely a desire to bestow, it is only through corrections of reflected light that it receives from the upper worlds from which it comes to us.
In other words, the will to receive that we're talking about, and even the desire to bestow that we're talking about, that we seemingly acquire, it's also not a desire to bestow, but a form of a will to receive that has an intention to bestow clothed on it.
And the meaning of this clothing is thoroughly explained in the preface to the Wisdom of Kabbalah. Yet the very essence of the soul is also a will to receive. And the only difference we can tell between one object and another is only by its desire. For the desire in any essence creates needs, and the needs create thoughts and concepts so as to obtain those needs, which the will to receive demands. And as human desires differ from one another, so do their needs, thoughts, and ideas. For instance, those whose will to receive is limited to beastly desires, their needs, thoughts, and ideas are dedicated to satisfying that will to receive in its entire beastliness. And although they use the mind and reason as humans do, it is, however, enough for the slave to be as his master, and it is like the beastly mind, since the mind is enslaved and serves the beastly desire. And those whose will to receive is strong mainly in human desires, such as respect and control over others, which are absent in the beast, the majority of their needs, thoughts, and ideas revolve solely around satisfying that desire as much as they can. And those whose will to receive is intensified mainly for acquisition of knowledge, the majority of their needs, thoughts, and ideas are to satisfy that desire as much as they can. If everything was designed for me to feel a filling, a fulfillment, but I don't feel it, then how to take it, how to receive correctly?
You need to perform activities that will bring you to a state where you feel what state you're in reception or in bestowal. In reception, you know what it means to receive and to fill yourself, to satisfy yourself. In bestowal is something you still need to learn how to come to it, and then you'll feel what it is, what it means to be in bestowal, what it means to be a giver, and what you're filled with when you bestow. The filling in reception is in the will to receive. The filling in bestowal is when you're filled with what is called the upper light.
And what's the first step a person needs to take in this direction you mentioned?
Only to work in order to bestow through the friends, with the friends, toward the Creator. And if we perform all of our actions as much as we can, then these actions are called skula, which is a virtue or merit or power. And they bring us the power of bestowal. Then to the extent that this power of bestowal is established in us, in this way we begin to feel what is spirituality and what it means to bestow.
It's a reward and not its essence.
In other words, the will to receive is the will to receive and it remains, and to the extent that it acquires the intention to bestow, to the extent that it works according to the intention to bestow, our qualities change in it, our feelings change, and it begins to receive, it begins to operate like the desire to bestow. And this is why it begins to know what is bestowal, what is the spiritual world, and who is the Creator. It all depends on the intention to bestow that we acquire through our operations. The Creator is the will to bestow, the desire to bestow. We can only acquire from Him, to receive from Him, the intention to bestow, to become similar to Him in this. PT 13.
Rav Besof.
At the end of item 24, he says the concepts it had acquired are its reward and not its essence. Why the concepts, intellectual concepts, are the reward and not bestowal?
Bestowal? No.
No, he writes the concepts are the reward,
yes.
Not bestowal.
Yes, to the extent that we receive, to the extent that we receive the powers, the ability, the qualities in order to bestow, they are all as a clothing over our will to receive, which doesn't change. The will to receive remains a will to receive. We remain created beings. But what we acquire over ourselves is called reflected light. And in that clothing, we begin to somehow resemble the Creator. And therefore, in that clothing, we begin to feel what bestowal means, what is the spiritual world, the higher state. That's it, only. We remain desire.
Buongiorno Rav. Nello stato Gimel, l'ultimo.
In the third state, the last one. Why the essence of the will to receive doesn't change?
The will to receive doesn't change. It's the only thing we have. Everything else is possessions on top of it that we acquire to the extent that we want to be similar to the Creator. We only have the will to receive, which the Creator created, and the will to receive acquires on it external forms of the desire to bestow, of bestowal. And the will to receive itself doesn't change. It can only be more or less through its 4 degrees. And accordingly, the will to bestow that rides over it, it can be more or less.
Quindi tutto quello che noi cambiamo in nello stato Gimel.
So everything that we change in the third state is the intention?
Nachon.
Correct. Only the intention. The will to receive can only grow and grow and grow. This is how it grows. And accordingly, we need to put on it more and more of the intention to bestow. But when we work with the will to receive, with the intention to bestow, here we have special kind of work. We have here an attainment, a feeling, a special reality that we ourselves are a desire to receive, opposite from the Creator, and in our clothing to be in order to bestow, we become similar to Him. And that oppositeness that exists in us between our nature, the will to receive, and our intention to bestow, these two forms are what gives us and enable us to attain specifically the Creator. Because we attain Him through His opposite. And we have no way to attain the Creator in any other way, but only through its opposite. We need to think more and be more in this, in our desires and thoughts and intentions, get mixed up in this, make mistakes, forget, and go back to it until our intellect also forces us to work, to be more flexible inside, not to be, you know, like logs, but more flexible. To try to perhaps think, understand, organize ourselves, who are only desires to receive. So how can we bestow? How can we rise above ourselves? We need to work with ourselves here.
Ken.
Yes.
Neshama ze. So. Refers to the will to bestow, let's say, or the ability to bestow the clothes over our will to receive and formats our will to receive, so that the will to receive also helps in the same direction of bestowal that exists in the soul, and then both work, the will to receive and the intention to bestow, they both work together. And that's already the action of the soul. Ask more, we'll find more words.
Kab yutu.
In number 23, it says to bestow to the fullest. What does it mean, the fullest? What is the fullest?
It's when the essence of our soul is the will to receive. That's what the Creator created. The will to bestow is the Creator Himself. The will to receive is the creature, a created being. The created being acquires over his will to receive an external form of bestowal. In that way, he likens himself to the Creator. So we're talking about through which actions we can take our will to receive and dress it with the form of bestowal called reflected light. That's the entire study of the wisdom of Kabbalah. To the extent that we have reflected light, the form of bestowal, we become similar to the Creator. To such an extent that we could become cleaved to the Creator, and that's our correction.
So that's the fullest, that's what that means then.
That's the meaning.
That's the meaning. Fullest.
Ken.
Yeah. Thank you.
Yes.
Киев.
Да, дорогой Раф, а все-таки что это за действие? Вот мы делаем, как каждый товарищ 50.
So, what is the action we do? Say, every friend, what do we do with the reflected light? How do we build the reflected light?
When I try from within my will to receive to bestow in some way to the other, then I begin to see that I'm incapable of doing it. And this pushes me to pray, to ask for the force of bestowal that I can receive from the Creator. And then, eventually, after work in the group, in prayer, I receive such an opportunity and I begin to come to know the meaning of bestowal above the will to receive.
What is this operation that I can do? I have a 10. I see the friends. So some force comes to me during the lesson that gives me the ability to bestow upon them or the Creator?
Yes, if you wish to work towards one another in this way and from you to the Creator, start to concentrate your intentions. And in this way you will reach a state where you discover that you have no other choice, you are not capable, and then you'll cry out to the Creator to give you such forces to connect you and give you the common strength to bestow. And then you'll be as one man in one heart, and you'll have one force of bestowal, and then in this one force of bestowal, according to its level, power, you'll begin to discover the
Rav, יש דבר כזה שרצון לקבל רוחני?
There's this thing that
a
spiritual will to receive means that he wants to bestow. It's a will to receive that's egoistic, that acquired various corrections. What kind of corrections can it acquire? To the extent that the upper light shines on it, it awakens like the upper light to bestow. And then you can see that he wants to bestow. Not that it becomes, it inverts to the will to bestow. Rather, that will to receive under the influence of the upper light wishes to be like the upper light, meaning wishes to present itself as a bestower. That's it. That's called...
Selected questions will be asked here during the lesson.
Yes, we learn, perhaps a little attain, that all of our spiritual attainment comes to us to the extent we can incorporate together, since each and every one carries inside of him a broken vessel, a part of the broken vessel of Adam HaRishon. And to the extent that we can come close to one another, through various actions, by that we begin to feel new states above our ego, in spite of our ego, as much as we can come close to one another forcibly, to be in the connection between us, then to the extent that we are connected, we attain spirituality. Our ego is very big. In each and every one, it stands and it resists our efforts to come close to one another. And as much as we can work, nevertheless, through the connection between us, mutual help, each will help his friend, as much as we can turn together to the Creator to help us out in establishing this web of connections between us, that we will have spiritual communications, not corporeal. Accordingly, we can begin to feel what it means, the spiritual world. It's the connection between the egoistic parts above which they rise and build this web, this network. And this web that they put together is called the soul. And inside this soul, according to how much resistance they have, and together with that, above the resistance, how much force of connection they have, then the gap between resistance and connections, and the difference between the two, gives them the ability to feel greater intensity, deeper, clearer intensity, the spiritual force. It always comes, the feeling of spirituality comes from its opposite, meaning we have a great will to receive, big egos, great rejections, hate, they wish to kill one another, wish to run away and just leave everyone. That's on the one hand. On the other hand, since there is no choice, we nevertheless come and we try to overcome. We support one another so that each one can overcome himself a bit more in the connection with others. And then in this way, we assemble the system just barely. But nevertheless, it is built. And therefore, we get into states that we attain how much we don't want any connection, how much we are indifferent to one another, maybe even we reject and repel one another, and how much we wish to run away from it all, yet we hold each other and we actually come closer in this concept of the group, the ten, and all of it is done by the Creator, who takes care of us either in a concealed way or more openly, and this way we finally come to a state of the first connection, then falling apart, second connection, then moving apart, third connection, hate, fourth connection, and this way more and more and more the path is entirely accompanied by the growing coarseness and rising above it, revelation.
Excerpt number one. If one has love of friends, the rule in love is that you want to see the friend's merits and not their faults. Hence, if one sees some faults in one's friend, it is not a sign that his friend is at fault, but that the seer is at fault, meaning that because his love of friends is flawed, he sees faults in his friend. Therefore, now he should see to his friend's correction. Therefore, now he should not see to his friend's correction. Rather, he himself needs correction. It follows from the above said that he should not see to the correction of his friend's faults, which he sees in his friend, but he himself needs to correct the flaw that he has created in the love of friends. And when he corrects himself, he will see only his friend's merits and not his faults.
Meaning, to what point do I need to correct myself until I stop seeing anything wrong in my friend? And it's not because the friend corrected himself, but because I corrected myself. Harsh words.
Дарев, а каким образом я должен исправить себя и какой силой, если я сам себе не хозяин?
In what way should I correct myself? With what force if I don't run myself?
Only when we want to connect between us. We want to forcefully bring ourselves closer internally, and we feel that we cannot do it, but in this inner connection we attain the soul, and we have no other way. And then we turn to the Creator and we ask Him to help us to reveal such a connection between us in our internality called the soul, and will be revealed there. In this way we come to connection.
Barur. Tov. Sibir.
Clear. Yeah, Siberia.
Rav, что значит недостаток у меня во мне? Ведь мы говорим, что не...
What does it mean that the deficiency is in me? The fault is in me. Because we're saying that the fault is in the connection.
Yeah, when I'm not able to connect with the other, it's not in the other, or it's not in the air somewhere, it's in me. In me, there's resistance, there's a conflict with the idea of connecting with the other. It's a special force, it's like a magnet.
Which
repels the other magnet.
מתחבר לשני, או יש כך ש...
You can invert it, so it connects with the other, and then there's such a way that it repels the other. So in me, there is the repelling force.
Focus group.
Focus group.
Rav, למה הוא אומר?
Rav, why does he say that? He says, if he has love of friends, these are love of friends is a very high degree. So only then can you begin this work on looking at the friend's fault.
To according to the degree of connection between us, we discover spirituality. It doesn't exist in anyone; it exists in the connection between us. So. To the extent there exists between us the force of separation, rejection, opposition, and then as much as above this rejection we build the force of connection, these two bits of information, they make up the coarseness and the coarse part and the refined part of the vessel. According to these two parameters, coarseness and refinement, that's how we measure our vessel. And this determines our spiritual degree. It's like in technology. Exactly like the same. And mechanics, engines, electronics, electricity, you need a great deal of resistance. And together with that, a great force that works on the resistance. And then you can measure the power. The same is between us, between people.
What does it mean that when he corrects himself, what is this operation? How do you approach it?
Correct himself means that I try to connect with the other and I discover how incapable I am. There's nothing more repulsive, more disgusting than connecting with the other on the one hand. On the other hand, I never stop learning, participating in various actions. And then I see that I have no choice. And I can barely make it to the lessons, but I have no choice. I can't let it go because there is no other way into spirituality, eternity, the Creator. There isn't. Then I come to a state where, although I'm not able to connect, not able to bestow, I have to do this nevertheless, and then I'm in a state of helplessness. And everything ends with a cry, as we call it, a prayer. The Creator must help.
Good morning, dear Rav. Good morning, dear friends. A question from my friends. I feel like the worst person in the world. Moreover, that's how I see my friends as well. How should I study to feel only my friends' merits, not their faults? Thank you.
Only according to how much you correct yourself, then you'll discover that your friends are all corrected, because each one casts flaws according to his own flaws. So correct yourself, then you'll see the friends are all good. That's how it is. But in order to correct oneself, you have to agree with your friends that you will help one another to be corrected. We have China today.
Please. Good morning, Rav. My question is, how can we attract the force of good to help our friend get through the new day? Thank you, Rav.
זה שאתם כולם חושבים על כולם.
The fact you all think of everyone.
תוצאה טובה יפה.
Because otherwise you can't come to any good result. That's enough for you to help you rise to a higher degree. Try together, 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 more and more. No one thinks of himself, only of everyone else. It's not like I'm not in it. I'm also in it. I'm also part of it, but all of us together. And you'll see to what extent this thought, this inclination, it connects you more and more, and it reveals in you the new reality, a new essence, that you're together. Together means already a part of the Creator. You are capable of it.
Volevo chiedere, quindi più ci correggiamo.
Yes, I wanted to ask, so that we more correct, so the more we correct ourselves, we'll see more flaws.
Yes, of course, the more we corrected we are, the more prepared we are for correcting, making even more corrections. That's why even greater flaws will be revealed. But it's because we already corrected, we prepared ourselves for those corrections. So don't think about how, oh, I thought I corrected something, now I see that have additional corrections to perform. It's specifically because you succeeded in your past corrections, you now have the next round of corrections before you. Okay? That's why he who is greater than his friend, his inclination is greater. Okay, guys, let's move on with the excerpts.
Excerpt number 2. One must not look at one's friend unfavorably, finding in him precisely that which is not good and searching for flaws in his friend's work. On the contrary, one must only look at the good and always search and find in him merit and good. And by this, there will be peace with everything. Again, one must not look at one's friend unfavorably, finding in him precisely that which is not good, and searching for flaws in his friend's work. On the contrary, one must only look at the good, and always search and find in him merit and good. And by this, there will be peace with everything.
You can say, but if I'm looking for flaws in my friend, I then understand it's my own flaw and I correct myself. No, that's not the short or the correct path. If I look for the good in the friend and then together with that, I discover a certain flaw in him, then I can come to a state where I correct him by correcting myself.
Tov, kadima.
Keta 3. Excerpt number 3. How can one consider one's friend greater than himself when he sees that his own merits are greater than his friend's, that he is more talented and has better natural qualities? There are two ways to understand this. One, he is going with faith above reason. Once he has chosen him as a friend, he appreciates him above reason. Two, this is more natural.
within reason. If he has decided to accept the other as a friend and works on himself to love him, then it is natural with love to see only good things. And even though there are bad things in one's friend, he cannot see them. As it is written, love covers all transgressions.
I didn't get it.
What does it mean to look at the friend above reason?
That all the bad things I see in him, I don't want to see them as bad because I see them as my own flaws, but rather I ascribe all these things to his goodness, that all the good things in him that I should identify, I invert them to bad things by my own ego. That's why I should correct only myself.
And what's called here above reason?
When I relate to it, not according to my own reason, the way I see it, but above my reason, I should do it the other way around, to correct myself until I see all these things in him as good.
Okay, and what's this in 2, where he writes that even though it's in his friend, he doesn't see them, as it's written, love covers all transgressions?
Both the good things and the bad things, that's how I should relate to him. I don't see good or bad, it's only my ego. PT 10.
Also about this excerpt, so it says that in the first, it says, as long as I don't have friend for a friend, then I have to go above reason. That's what I need to do.
Yes, until we reach a natural measure of love, we have to go above reason.
And then I actually come to what it says in number 2, which is a result. You could say that 1 is the first stage, where I don't have love yet, so I go above reason, and then I come to 2, to love, natural?
Yes. Yes. Because love is basically, it's not love. Love is the force of connection we have in the corrected system. That's all. It's the correct mutual connection that should exist in one. This is also considered that you're praying for the friends. When you're asking to see the friends' merits, rather their flaws, this means you're praying for them. You're correct. This is a very good question. It's a correct question.
Latin 8.
Latin 8.
Querido Rav, muchas gracias.
Dear Rav, thank you very much. We need to always just look at the good side and find the merits in friends. Does it mean that we are corrected or that we simply cover things and don't enable the correction to come?
We're not enabling the correction to come. If you're going into the lesson and you feel that you don't have a good mood, you're not awakened, that you're not so much, you're not going above your usual state. You don't feel this internal air. You should demand this from the lesson. You should, during the lesson, towards the end of the lesson, at least to feel that you have gotten spiritual air, that it's filling you, that you're ready to fly. Otherwise, it's not considered that you've been to the lesson. And each and every one of you
should overcome his indifference and to try to think about himself and others, how you're helping each other to rise from your egoistic desire that always puts pressure on you and always puts you down like like gravity. It always brings you down to the ground, doesn't let you stand. I'm not talking about flying, that's something we can't yet. So we have to demand this during the lesson from each other and from our, to help each other, so that during the lesson we'll start feeling that we're rising above the ground. And now we've been with you more than an hour and a half, meaning almost 60 or 70% of the lesson is gone. And I don't yet see you rising, that you're concerned about how much each one can help the others. And everyone has the same opportunity. Where is this, each one helps his friend? I don't see it's happening. Rather, each one is in his own low state. That's not good. This is something we mustn't leave ourselves in such a state.
Thank you, Rav. Is it better to see the friends greater within reason or above reason?
It's
better to see him within reason that he's greater, but at least above reason that he is greater than him. Okay? Fine. Moscow 6.
Rav, can you say please, if we see a certain flaw in the friend, and it's not one friend that sees this, but several friends see this blemish, how do we need to work with this? Do we need, and by the way, this repeats itself, it happens from time to time, we need to swallow this matter, to agree with it, to work with it inside and raise the friend, or do we need to also do certain physical actions, corporeal actions? How to decide what to do?
You should relate to your friend that this is what the Creator is doing in him, upper force, and that's why you need to help the friend. And basically it's you are the ones who are helping yourselves to come out of it so that he will rise above it. That's one thing. And it's not that you don't see that. You see it. You should respond to that. Yes. You're not letting go and saying, whatever I see in him bad, that's me, that's my own bad. And so what's going to come out of that? You have to correct. Either you see in him or inside himself, that doesn't matter.
Continuing what we read right now, if I understand correctly, then when Malchut was emptied and the Or Chozer, the reflected light, as far as the line, the first three Sfirot, or even the fourth one, including Keter, are filled with light, no problem. The only one that's not filled, and we're talking about, is the Malchut.
Yes, the Malchut is not fulfilled.
So the first four of them are filled. So when it does a masach, a screen, and they feel that's what's going on, is what's going on in the first four.
Yes, Malchut is only filled with the reflected light.
From the force of the reflected light.
From the force of the reflected light.
And then the Parzuf that is created, if we continue from there, is Malchut and the first nine that are filled with light. Meaning everything that's above Malchut.
Yes.
So that's one division. So how do we also get the division of Rosh Toch Sof, where Rosh is only the first three and Toch is filled with light? It's already seemingly within Malchut. It's part of Malchut.
That's something we'll talk about soon. We'll talk about that soon. Tel Aviv 3.
Rav, what change is there in the attitude of Malchut to the Sefirot that pass through the light before the restriction and after it? What change in the relationship between them?
Before the restriction, there wasn't any prohibition. Malchut was filled by all the light, and after the restriction, Malchut has a condition of the restriction, when the light will not enter to receive in order to receive, and then it stays empty. It only acts in the form of the reflected light.
But how are those sefirot perceived before the restriction and after? The sefirot that pass her the light, how do they...
I don't understand what's your confusion. I'm sitting in front of the host. He gives me, and I make the calculation how much I can receive or not. That's all. You're with your philosophy. You're being confused. Accept it. Simply.
What's the host?
The host, the creator.
But we're the reality of the will to receive in the sefirot in the system. What's that?
But you have a source for the light.
But I don't have connection to that.
In this light, you have the will to bestow that comes from the host, from the creator. Right or not?
No.
Right.
Well.
But the host is not standing before me. Before me, a system is standing. And I don't grasp it.
No. That's incorrect. If this is the way you're thinking, you're completely wrong. You're in the wrong perception of reality. You're standing before the Creator. And between you and the Creator, there's a system. And this system distinguishes between you and Him, and you want to adapt yourself to the Creator.
That's what I'm asking. How is that adaptation done? How is this adaptation done before the restriction? What change does Malchut go through after the restriction?
This is what we learn. By the restriction, the screen, the reflected light, Malchut adapts itself to the Creator, so that the bestowal from the Creator called direct light comes to be the same essence, just like Malchut does to the Creator, from Ketel to Malchut and from Ketel, from Malchut back to Ketel. And in these 20 Sefirot, from above downwards and back up, then we see how they...
אדום מופיע עכשיו. אומר, איך אפשר? הוא שואל את השאלה, זה בשביל זה אני
שואל. This is the question. So, how can you cause this reflected light to be no more and no less than reflected, but to the measure of the light that the masach pushed backwards? How can you explain this practically in our work so it won't be some kind of fantasy?
To the extent that you intend to be in the direction of the host, to that extent you can receive from him.
What in simplicity is the essence of this action?
That you seemingly reject everything, because your will to receive now has to be established correctly with a new approach to the host, and to measure, to weigh how much the host gives you and how much you can give him. And this way you reach a state that you may reach equivalence, identification. Thank you, Rav. A question about the restriction. If we go to the well-known example of the host and the guest, when he's ashamed standing before the host and then he restricts himself. So my question is, in our work, is before the restriction, you should feel the Creator in each and every state. That's prior to the restriction. What we should work on is the presence of the Creator, seeing the Creator in front of me.
Well, see the Creator before me, I don't know how to tell you, but you need to feel that you are the one who's receiving, and that you're receiving then, you have a sensation that there's someone before you that's operating upon you and giving you, and you feel shame in this, and then you have no choice but to do restriction. Yes, that's under the condition that you're working in a group, and then you intensify the force of bestowal upon yourself from above, and then also through the participation in the group can increase your force of bestowal in return from below. That means that already in the group you're carrying out an action of the tzimtzum, of the restriction. In other words, the action of restriction cannot take place if you're not receiving all the sefirot until malchut that is common and shared, and then from that you discover all the responses from the common malchut.
Meaning, out of my connection with the attempts of connection with the friends, with the group, we get this force. I won't say the force of bestowal, but basically the feeling of the Creator.
Yes, yes. Okay, good. So we are going on.
So let's read 65 again, Rav.
Yeah, let it be.
Reflected light is divided into sefirot according to its clothing of the sefirot of direct light. From the aforementioned, you can thoroughly understand the measure and size of that reflected light. It is no more and no less than the measure of light that the screen pushes backwards. In other words, it is that part that was worthy of expanding in phase 4 had it not pushed it back. It ascended and clothed the phases of the upper light, meaning phase 3, called Zeranpin, phase 2, called Bina, phase 1, called Chochmah, and also the root phase, called Keter. For this reason, it is considered that phase 4 herself was divided into those 4 degrees that her reflected light clothed, which became 4 degrees one above the other, in the vessel of phase 4 herself. That is because the light that had belonged to her ascended and clothed these 4 degrees. It is for this reason that phase 4 is regarded as the root, called the keter, of this reflected light.
Mm-hmm.
And the 10 sefirot of reflected light from below upward. Now, there are 2 kinds of 10 sefirot in the emanated being. 10 sefirot from above downward, and 10 sefirot from below upward. It is so because there are 10 sefirot in the upper light called the keter of the upper light. Also, 4 phases expand from the keter. Phase 1 is called Chochmah. Phase 2 is called Bina. Phase 3 is also called Zeranpin. It contains 6 Sefirot Chagatnei. And phase 4 is Malchut. Their order is from above downward, meaning from the more refined to the more coarse. It means that the more refined is also more important. And the most refined of all, namely the root, is called Keter. Following it, meaning with a little more coarseness than Keter, It is called Chokhmah and continues through the coarsest, who is Malchut, the most inferior of all.
Okay. Look, friends, I just want to tell you one thing. What we're reading right now, a very special man wrote this, who has reached high attainments. And he doesn't write one word that does not come from his exalted attainment. If we have difficulty with these words, even if we don't quite understand, then we receive from it a certain illumination, the reforming light. And this is how we purify ourselves and advance. If we don't do that, then it's like a donkey is looking inside of a book and doesn't understand anything. So please, you need to think, what's the purpose of your study? Not to be so indifferent, how to awaken yourself more, how to understand more, to feel more, to ask from the Creator, more understanding, more feeling, that it's impossible to remain this way. What will I have? What will be with me if I stay this way? A beast? So we need to nevertheless to rise up.
Teacher,
you just said that we have to connect to this text. How can we as a 10 connect practically right now to this text? What should we do now to do that?
Whatever you can do, whatever is possible with your hands to do, do. Everything you read, everything you heard, let's connect all these things together and demand and yearn for all of this. Otherwise,
what are we demanding when we read tests?
Wonderful. Now we're entering, Moshe, we're going to enter a workshop. What do we demand from the study?
Yes.
Knowledge, intellect, intention, what not. Maybe the weather to change. It doesn't matter what. Workshop. Everyone is in this scrutiny.
Nice request will come out of us.
I just want to add to this that we're in a special time. And this time, during this time of the year that we're in, usually states events that are very not good happened to those who engage in the wisdom of Kabbalah and also belong to the attainment of the Creator. It's the ruin of the first temple, the ruin of the second temple, all kinds of such events that are typical to this time of the year, to this time. And therefore, it's no wonder that we're also feeling a certain hardening, a burdening of our heart. It's a heaviness that is on us right now. But with that, we must rise above it. Well, so what if it's heaviness? It's not important. We need to nevertheless be above that. So let's lift ourselves up, rise, and come to states that
States that are good, so that we will do these states, and not the states will dictate to us what we need to be, but rather the other way around. Okay? I see that, oh, we have the focus group. Please.
Rav, how to rise above this heaviness of the heart that's fallen upon us suddenly?
So I explained that it's not all of a sudden, it's guided from above, that there are times for good and times for bad. This is not such a good time. And we need, meaning there are lights that influence all of humanity, and to those who engage in the wisdom of Kabbalah and coming closer to the Creator especially, that are under the influence of these times. The times meaning not that time is operating in us, but the upper light is operating on us and shining on us in such a way. So we will try to be above this specifically, we'll rise. And this will pass soon, one way or another.
Are we capable of going against these lights?
Somewhat, yes. Not completely. We nevertheless are dependent on this force. We don't yet have a restriction. We don't have the tzimtzum, the restriction in the masach and the screen and the reflected light with a vessel that we can rise with and uplift ourselves through and operate through or against the what we call the charms and the stars. But we don't have that kind of level of bestowal yet. But we're coming closer to it. That's why I'm explaining now that we need, despite that, to wake up and continue. Okay? A good song, and with that we will complete our lesson.
Let's have a tune.
Shevet Achim Gam Yachad.